Let us begin with prayer. Our gracious Father, as we begin today, it's with thanksgiving that we come before you for all that you have provided for us, all that you have done, and all that you will do. So we pray that you would give us your Spirit, that your word might go forth and be understandable and usable for your glory. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you all awake? Are you awake? Are you ready? Are you going to be all awake? All right. Okay. I move your, open your mouth really wide. Okay. All right. Work it out there a little bit. All right. You got it? Can you say hallelujah? That's really better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Oh, very good. You're going to be a good priest. All right. You know what that word means? Hallelujah.
That's one word, isn't it?
Well, it's a compound word, yeah. You know what it means? It's translated in the Bible and in the Old Testament, most times as praise the Lord. Okay. I prefer a more accurate translation. It's praise Jehovah because it uses the name that he has chosen to reveal himself as. And so, a good priest would know that even though, they always did something not to say the word completely, but to say, I mean, Jehovah or Yahweh as it would be in the Hebrew. They always did something to shorten it. And so they shortened it to Yah here. And so, but it represents the one that revealed himself to them. Now, I'll give you a little exercise here. You've already practiced it. You know what to say. Okay? Let the earth and all that are in it praise his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah, the King of heaven and earth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let all men everywhere praise Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
We're sort of afraid to use some of these words. We're afraid to use Jehovah because of the Jehovah's Witnesses. We don't want to get confused with them, so we sort of refrain ourselves from using his name. Okay, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves for doing that. I mean, they've stolen the name from us. Let's take it back and use it so that we're talking about the person that's writ the scriptures, that wrote the scriptures for us, that we might know him. And we're sort of afraid to use hallelujah. We don't want to be confused with those holy rollers, shouting down the thing and making all kinds of racket during the service. We're tried and true Presbyterians. We like to sit there and be staunch and quiet. All right? You know, during a service, I prefer that too. I've been in some Baptist circles that, there was all kinds of rattling and noise going on with it. You know, amen, praise the Lord, amen. Everything they had to say, amen, praise the Lord. Now, be quiet and listen to what God's saying. And when you get to the end of it, hallelujah, he gave it to us. One of the priestly functions is to lead in praise to God. We've been talking about the priestly functions. The Old Testament priest, that was part of their work, was to lead in the praise of Jehovah. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, we will see it in the New Testament for us. And we're going to be starting at verse 10. The whole chapter is good for us, but I want to pick out the particular things here about a priest. It begins, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the of our lips, giving thanks to his name." We use our lips. That means it has to be something that's said. We know that our bodies are to be offered as a living sacrifice from last week. If we've done that, a second sacrifice is still required of us, the sacrifice of praise. To keep our association to the Old Testament priesthood, the Greek word that's used in the Septuagint to describe the thank offering in the Levitical system is the same one that's used here for praise. So just as they accepted the thank offerings that were brought and offered them, so it is that we are to offer our praise to God. What does this verse tell us about the sacrifice? First, it tells us, I'm looking at verse 15 there in chapter 13. It's by or through him. Therefore, let us offer. Okay, our praise originates through Jesus Christ, who provides us access to the altar of God in heaven. It's only because of him that we are able to do this, to able to accurately praise the Lord. The second thing, our praise is directed to God the Father. We hear a lot of people praise all kinds of things, but our praise here goes to God the Father. Even our Lord said of himself, "I always do what pleases the Father." And so what we do in honor of our Lord is that we praise God the Father. We're to do it how long? Continually. Praise should never stop. There's never a time when praise is inappropriate. You might not feel like it, but that's absolutely the best time to praise God. Praise him that you can still praise him, even though I don't feel good. When everything goes wrong, that's still time to praise him. And it is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It must be spoken. It's not good enough just to think about it. It must be verbalized so that others can hear. If our lips are always filled with praise to God, how can they ever be cursing men? I believe that's a verse someplace. We use our lips to praise God and also curse men. But if it's always full of praise to God, then our lips will be pure. We will always say and not say what is the correct thing. Then a couple of other verses that go along with this. In Ephesians 5:20, it tells us, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it sort of reiterates what it is here. We praise who? The Father. And we do it through Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1 and verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Again, the direction where our praise needs to go. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We looked at that back when we were looking at Thessalonians. This is God's will that you do this. And he's always well pleased when he hears your praise. Perhaps one of the best ways to express our praise is in song, where it says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But again, it has to be spoken with the lips. So all the people said, hallelujah. Amen. Amen means you agree with it. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. The next item is found in John chapter 4. The whole passage is relative to it, but we'll start at verse 21 there. And that is the aspect of worship, the work of the priest, was to lead in praise. The work of the priest is to lead in worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when it shall neither in this mountain, when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet in Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship ye not know what, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then the auxiliary verse, Philippians 3:3, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Worship is the main objective of the priest. He is the worship leader. It includes all the other duties we've talked about and more. What are some of the details concerning worship of which we need to be aware? Back there in John, especially at verse 23, if you're going to worship, you must be a true worshiper. A person can only worship if they have believed in the Son, Jesus Christ. Notice he tells the Samaritan woman that she does not know what she worships. Another thing that we have to do is we have to know who we are worshiping. The more we know about God, the better we can worship him. The better we can praise him. There are so many things that we may have glanced across in the word about who God is. Who is this Jehovah that we worship? That's why we need to constantly be reviewing what's there for us so that we understand who he is, what he wants, what he expects of us to do, when he expects us to do something, and be able to worship him properly all the time. Again, what's it say? We must direct our worship to, when we bow down to worship. We usually don't bow, but if we did, who would we bow to? God the Father. Very directly stated there more than one time. We worship God the Father through Jesus Christ. As a positioning that they have arranged for us. And we sort of need to accept it, don't we? That's how he said, it doesn't make Jesus Christ lesser than the Father. Okay? It puts him in the position that he is as the great high priest. And so we worship the Father through him. The next one is that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. What we can learn here is that there's no location on earth where we must go to worship. We worship him through the right relationship of our spirit to him. We worship God in his true form. He is spirit. Therefore, he had the first commandment, or the second commandment. Thou shalt not make any graven image. We don't need to observe an icon. We don't need to observe a statue. If we understand that God is spirit and that we can't really see him, but we know he's there, we can feel him here, we worship him as a spirit. We also do it in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. He sent us the Paraclete. He comes alongside of us. He helps us in that prayer to make sure that we understand and say the right thing. We might not even be able to say it. But he makes sure that it's understood in heaven what it is that we desire. Again, we need to worship him according to knowledge. And like I said, the more we know about him, the less likely we are to ascribe something that's false about him. I hear a lot of people talking about God and saying things that are absolutely false about him, thinking that they're doing something that's good. As you listen to things like that, make sure that you do not pick them up and incorporate them in your worship. Another thing there is that if we are true worshipers, we must worship. It's an absolute necessity. It is not something we can put off or do only once or twice a year. That's why it's necessary for us on a very regular basis to present ourselves together. Yes, you can worship by yourself out in the woods with a fishing pole in your hand. But we're told, don't forsake the assembling together. As corporate worship is absolutely essential to your well-being spiritually. We must worship. Must be done regularly. The final thing that I have here about the priest's work, his job was to lead in prayer. We'll find this now in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the first four verses where it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We are exhorted to do something here. The first one is supplications. This is pleading that God will supply provision for needs arising out of want, danger, or distress. The people of the New Testament churches, the majority of them, were in some sort of distress most of the time. If it wasn't from the governmental officials, it was from their neighbors. And if you happen to have been a Jewish believer, it was from your own family where that distress came. And so, supplications here is that pleading that you have with God that He will supply particular things for your needs. The second one, he says prayers. Again, a general term that we use for many things. And this one is a request for spiritual blessings. We need to refresh our spirit daily, and speaking to God concerning that, asking Him to bless us with the knowledge of Him and the grace that He provides daily for us. So we continue to pray for those things. Intercessions was the third one, and this is to fall in with a person, to draw near so as to converse familiarly with them, and this includes earnest personal pleading, meeting God as it were in prayer. It's the same sort of situation with the Holy Spirit, where He comes alongside of us and He understands us and He helps us to plead for the right things. But this is where we have sort of a meeting with God, and we do this intercessing for ourselves and for others. The best example I know of in Scripture is Abraham pleading for Sodom. He walked alongside God and he inquired about this and that, and he starts off, you know, asking if there were 30, if there were 20, or if there were 10 righteous men, would he not do it? And God grants him his desire as he pleaded with him along the way. And that's sort of what we do. We plead with him along the way as we walk with him. And then the fourth thing was giving of thanks. We've already talked about the praise and the thanks being done, but this is a prayer for the continuance of the blessing for which we give thanks. We all had some sort of a blessing this morning. We may not have realized it. Okay? As we realize it, the first thing we ought to do is give thanks to the Lord. Thanks when I remember something. Okay? It gets harder and harder every day. You know, I plead, you know, help me remember this. And if it's important, he does. Our duty in prayer has the scope of all men in it. Not particular. You know, we don't just pick out those that are part of the church. Our work here as a priest in prayer has something to do with all men around us. Our neighbors, we can intercede for them. And it says especially for kings and for all that are in authority. I mean, this was the tough one for them. I mean, the Roman emperors were not being too nice to the believers. And so he says, we want to do this. We need to do this. I exhort you, keep doing it. Now, there are three reasons why we do this that are given to us here in these verses. One, we do it that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. If somebody's beating on your door every night to wake you up and drag you out and beat you, it's just pretty doggone hard to want to worship in that aspect, but you do. So we want a peaceable life and quiet. The second reason is, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. It's something that pleases him. You know, I'm sure he was pleased with Abraham when he took off with them there after his stay with them and talked to him. That's the same with us. This is something that's good and acceptable. And the third one is, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? Part of our intercession is for the unbeliever, that they will know our God and that they will believe in him and that they too then can join us as priest. Now, that ends my lesson. So you either get out early or I put the addendum on it. This will just be brief. One of the words in the New Testament, and we've seen it used in one of the verses that we just read here in Timothy, is the word godliness. It's related to one of our duties. A literal translation, it comes from, again, it's a compound Greek word. It has two parts. It comes from good, you, and worship, sudia. So when you see the word godliness, we sort of have our own ideas about it. But one aspect of it is that a godly person is one who gives good worship to God. And there are certain cautions that were given to us in the scriptures, and we'll just go through down to those briefly. In 1 Timothy 4:7, he tells him to refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. This goes along with what I talked about before. We don't accept all those stories that we hear about God. We go to the scriptures and we find out what it says about him. So we don't pick up that false knowledge that's passed on just by talking about it, not by expositing, is that right, the scriptures. He says in another place here, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. It says, godliness, good worship, is profitable to you. And one of the profits that you get from it is that it leads to, what was the term here? Profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. It's good for you right now and for that which is to come. What are we going to be doing throughout eternity? What was one of the things, huh? Yeah, we're going to worship God. We're going to worship him. In fact, that's in Revelation 21 or something, one of the last things that's said in that book, is he says, worship God. Again, another one here, he warns them against perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Good worship is not gaining worldly things. Some people have a form of godliness or good worship, but denying the power thereof. To get away from them, he says. And that's good enough. Okay, I didn't want to leave you out too early. That ends our study on the priesthood of the believer. There's probably a lot of other things that needed to be in there, but I couldn't dig them out at the moment. We're going to go someplace that is unusual. We're going to look at the book of Nahum. Very few people ever look at that book. You know, I can understand why. It's not really directed to us, but there's a lot of stuff in it that just sort of starts to pop out once you read it. So that's where we'll be if you want to start taking a look at it. I know when you read it, you'll say, oh, my goodness, what is going to happen here with this? That's what I did the first time through it. Second time, that was a little bit clearer. So that's where we'll be. So thank you.